I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Turn everything else off for the next few minutes, and sometimes people talk about, you know, we're coming into your living room. No, we want you to come in here to the class. We've saved you a seat right here in the front. Notice how close I'm standing. I can see right close. So put everything aside. Come right on in and give the Lord your full attention, and it will benefit you. Lord, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the anointing that teaches, that reveals, that heals, that liberates, enlightens, asking for ears that hear and hearts that can distinguish and eyes that can see and see fully. We're asking for answers and direction and help for now, for today, for where we are and for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we're deep into our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say that again? Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
For us all.
Now, if that sounds strange to you, or you're not sure, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's obvious a lot of people don't have abundant provision. That's true. A lot of people don't. But does that prove the will of God? No. See, this is the thing. You know, the Scripture says in Peter that the Lord's not willing that any should perish. But people are perishing. So does people perishing reveal the will of God? It does not. And so you make a mistake by looking out here to what has happened and what is happening and trying to assume, well, it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't the will of God. That's absolutely not true. There are all kind of things happening in this earth that are contrary to the will of God, that displease God, that grieve God. And well, why is He letting it happen? Because He gave us a free will. We can choose to believe or not. We can choose to obey or not. And the reason there's so much pain and so much curse and so much sorrow in the world and death, sin and death, is because of man's rebellion against God and allowing his enemy, the devil, to come in and work havoc and chaos and death and destruction. We talked about it yesterday, John 10:10. Jesus said the thief doesn't come unless he's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, is God the thief?
No.
Certainly not. Jesus the thief?
No.
Well, who's the thief? It's God's enemy. It's our enemy, Satan, the devil. People say, well, I don't know if I believe in all that. Well, it's true whether you believe it or not. Reality is reality. And you hear people say, well, I don't believe in God and devil and heaven and hell. Well, whether you believe it or not, you're about to find out. Your life will soon be over. And when you quit breathing, your spirit's going to come out of your body. Mm-hmm. And when it does, all of your questions about this are going to be answered. Yes, but for some, it'll be too late. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, you know, what if you're wrong? If I'm wrong, I'm happy. I'm living a good life. I'm enjoying my life. And I wouldn't, you know, I get to the point where I'm about to die. I'm convinced I'm not going to say, I wish I'd been more selfish. I wish I'd taken more and hurt more people and sinned more. Mm-mm, don't think so. But if you're wrong and there is a God and there is a heaven and hell, that's a big deal. And so all you got to do is make a choice to believe. It's not about being good enough to go to heaven. Nobody was good enough to go to heaven. That's why Jesus had to come and pay the price. He was the only one good enough. That His blood, His innocence, His righteousness, His holiness was acceptable to the Father. And what He did was come and take our shame and our sin and give us His righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we could be accepted and be saved from what we could not save ourselves from. And all you got to, you don't have to work and try to earn or be good enough or do good enough works. If you're trying to do that, you're lost. You are not saved. What you got to do is admit you can't save yourself. Admit you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Admit you need a Savior and just ask Him into your life and bow your knee to His Lordship and confess Him as Lord. And the Scripture said, you will be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Is this the best news you ever heard in your life? That's what it's called, the gospel, the good news. Everybody pray it out loud with me. Say, Father God,
I do believe in You.
And I believe in Your Son,
and I believe in Your Son,
whom You sent to be the Savior of the world, that He took my place.
He
died on the cross.
He
was judged in my place and paid the price for all my failures,
all my sins,
all my mistakes. But You have raised Him from the dead. And He is alive now. King of kings. Lord of lords.
Soon to come again.
Jesus,
I receive You
and confess You
as the Lord of my
life.
Thank You
for saving me.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord. If you meant that, if you did that from your heart, you are not lost. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And your future eternity is secure. And so we'll see more of each other, right? In time to come, we are God's forever family. Hallelujah. Well, like I had said, we're in the middle of our series on faith for provision. And we're in the process of giving 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure it's always God's will for all of us to have abundance. Never does God want to see you struggle with lack. Never. Somebody says, well, yeah, you know, when I, you know, lost everything and hit rock bottom is when I turned to God and I got close to God. Well, I'm glad you did. But it would have been a lot easier if you'd have done it earlier, right? To say you had to lose everything to find God is saying what Jesus did wasn't enough. You also had to go through that. That's not true. I said, that's not true. No, we've all made some bad decisions. All of us have gone through some things we shouldn't have. Some things that we didn't have to go through. And what you want to learn is not try to look out here and decide what God is or look at what has happened to determine what His will is. His Word reveals His will. What He has said reveals Himself to us. And thank God we have that in the books that we call the Bible. So we've been looking one by one, and we talked about the Lord being our shepherd. We talked about the goodness of God. We talked about the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven, the God of Abraham, that we're the seed of Abraham. We talked about tithing and the blessing that comes with that, honor and riches, wisdom and wealth, being an imitator of God. We talked about the great I Am, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, the Most High God. We talked about Jehovah Sabaoth, Rapha, Shalom, Shammah, Reah, Sidkenu, Jehovah Jireh. And not once did we see anything that would make us think God wants us broke. Hadn't seen it yet. We have seen over and over again abundance, provision, plenty, increase, rich, full, overflowing. We keep finding words like that. But no broke. No broke. No lack, no poverty in connection with what God is doing and what He wants. We're down now to reason number 14 in our study. And that is that we are sure that abundance is always God's will for us all, because He is the God of restoration. The God of restoration. Now we looked in Joel 2, if you'd look there again, Joel 2:25, I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, and the cankerworm and caterpillar and palmer. Verse 26, you'll eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Well, the blessing and provision puts you in a place where you're not embarrassed. You're not ashamed. It's embarrassing when you don't have something decent to wear. When you don't, you know, you can't pay your bills, and you don't have adequate money for groceries, and you can't participate in things that you want to participate in. You can't go in, to places and go to meetings or be a part of things. Go with your friends. You just don't have any money, any resources. That's embarrassing. Yes. And does God want us embarrassed?
No.
He's the God of restoration. And even if, like these that he was writing about here, that had forsaken God, they had left God, they had replaced God with false gods and idols. And so they had let years go by where they are away from God, and it has cost them. It has cost them dearly. And you know, this is described in the locust ate it up. And what the locust didn't get, the worms and caterpillars finished off. And it's just, this describes the devouring of the curse and the enemy. The names of the devil described in Revelation is Apollyon and Abaddon, which means destroyer. And he is, and those that are with him, are devourers, destroyers. We talked about yesterday in yesterday's class about when you tithe, part of the blessing is the Lord said he would rebuke the devourer. Yes. Right? Yes. For your sake. All the more reason to tithe. Yes. Right? And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, tithing's not for us nowadays. Well, that's your opinion. Around here we tithe. Yes. And we enjoy it. Yes. And it's not a law that we're trying to keep, and it's not something that we're trying to earn. Abraham tithed before Moses, before the law, before any of that, out of faith and honor. Because he knew who his source was, and he did it gladly. And we believe in that blessing, and we have a high priest today, Jesus, who receives these things of us and blesses us. And part of that blessing is rebuking the devourer, the one who comes to eat up your increase, to consume like this locust, like this cankerworm, like this caterpillar, like this palmer worm. These are things that eat up, that consume, that devour what would have accumulated and caused you to eventually increase and prosper and have abundance. But it's the enemy, it's the devourer who doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't, I mean, who wants the church to be broke? God or the devil? Huh? Does God want the church so broke, don't have a decent place to meet in, can't print any books, can't get on any TV or can't do anything to get the message out, so broke, don't have a tank of gas to leave the driveway? Huh? How would that please God? How would He's the one told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. With what? He told us to help the poor. With what? How much can the poor help the poor? You know what I'm saying? You've got to have some resources, and even above what you need to do things for the kingdom and a lot of things for other people. So it's the enemy who is the devourer. He is the one who comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But here, listen to the goodness of God. Even though they had forsaken God, and man, they have been consumed. They have been devoured. Do you hear the waves of things? There was a locust wave. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought that was terrible. Then came the canker worms, right? And then came the caterpillars. And then came the palmer worms. What is that? It's wave after wave of consuming devastation, drought. Remember, in the previous verses, the Lord said, I'm going to rain on you. Yes. Well, see, that's what they were needing. They were hurting because they didn't have the blessing. They didn't have His rain. They left Him. But when they came back, He's got good news for them. Yeah. I'm going to rain on you. And then I'm going to rain on you some more. Yes. And then I'm going to rain on you double in the same month. You know what? That's blessing. Yes. Actually, one prophet said it like this, showers of blessing. That's blessing. And the blessing that brings life, just like water does to the ground. Life. And He said, the floors are going to be full of wheat. The vats are going to overflow with wine and oil. Everybody say, good times, good times, good times. Abundant. Does this sound like abundance?
Yes.
Abundant times. Verse 25. And that would be enough to shout about the rest of the year. But He says, and. Oh, He's the also God.
Yes, He is.
He's the also God. And I'm going to restore to you the years that were eaten up.
Yes.
The years that were lost. And verse 26, you're going to eat in plenty, you're going to be satisfied, and you're going to praise the name of the Lord who has dealt so wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Restoration. Somebody say restoration.
Restoration.
This word restoration is the Hebrew word shalom. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Well, because the other word shalom comes from this word. And it means to be safe, happy, well off, healthy, prosperous. That's shalom. And it comes from this word shalom. And shalom literally means to be completed. Oh, somebody say completed. To be completed. He's not the God of taking away. Huh? He's not the consumer. He's not the devourer. That's the devil. He's the God of finishing it out. He's the God of completing. One person said it like this concerning shalom, which is connected to this same word. Nothing broken, nothing lacking, nothing missing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's another way of saying complete. Completed. And that's why when the Lord said that in verse 25, I will restore to you, that's what He's saying. I will complete to you. I will make it back up to you what you lost. I will restore to you so that you are not lacking from the devastation of these previous years, you're lacking nothing.
Yes.
You know, that's what he said about wisdom, didn't he, in James? Ask God for the wisdom that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Is that God's will?
Yes, it is.
How can you twist lack out of that? Somebody say perfect.
Perfect.
Now that word perfect, when we hear perfect in our vernacular, we think flawless. But that's not what this word means used here. It means complete. It means to be perfect or perfected means completed, fulfilled, fully developed, fully filled. And that's what restoration is. I will restore to you the years. Friend, I hope you're awake and hooked, because in these classes yesterday and today and this week, and as we're talking about this, the reason you're hearing this is God wants to restore to you.
Yes.
Lost things, even from years past.
Yes.
He wants to restore to you. You and I, all of us, anything that we lost, even through disobedience, even through ignorance and stubbornness and not listening to Him, making a mistake, even a big mistake, even a bunch of big mistakes, is not the end. It's what you do after that that determines the real outcome. And if you will repent, oh, thank God, if you will repent, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing's too big for Him. Not only can He free you from any bondages and any shackles that have resulted from that. And we tend to just think, well, you know, I shouldn't have been so dumb. I lost a lot of opportunity in that. So just let's just go on from here. God says, no, no, I want to restore. Oh, somebody say, restore. Say it again, restore.
Restore.
Say it again, restore.
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 What does restore mean? To complete. To complete. To make it up. I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten. You'll eat in plenty. You'll be satisfied. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Nothing lacking. Perfect and entire. Wanting
nothing.
So that you come from a place of just loss and pain and hurt and pressure and poverty and lack, until in a short time somebody asks you, what else do you need? And you go, can't think of a thing. I got everything I need and more. I'm wanting nothing. And what would that cause you to do? Praise your God. Is that right? Praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt so wonderfully for you, with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Well, I've preached myself happy.
Yes.
How about you? Is this the God we serve? Is this the God who has saved us? He is so generous. He is so kind. He is so rich. Like we said, He delights in showing mercy. He delights in it. But now you do have to come back to Him. You do have to repent. You do need to acknowledge, I should have listened to you. I should have done what you told me to do. You have to do that to even, you know, come back and open the door for Him to do these things. Boy, but if you will, He will restore. Somebody say restore.
Restore.
You know, in our first point that we talked about in Psalm 23, you remember how that goes?
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to what? Lie down in barren, dry, dusty place. No, no. Green pastures.
Yes.
Leads me beside the dried up creek.
No.
No, no, no. No, the muddy, nasty. No. Still waters. And what? Verse 3. He restores my soul. Somebody say, He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
Say it again. He restores my soul. Now, just like we confessed and said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. Say this out loud. The Lord's my shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd.
He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
This is part of the abundant life. This is a big part of the abundant life. There are people who are very, very rich with money, but they are tormented in their minds and in their feelings. Their soul is wretched. Many of them get suicidal because they, you know, if you're broke, you can imagine if I had money, it'd make me happy. So there's something possibility to look forward to. But if you got everything money can buy and you're so miserable you don't know that you want to live tomorrow, then that's how you could become hopeless, because you know money won't fix it. And there are a myriad of things that, you know, the important things money can't buy. But God is the restorer, not just of the material part of your life. He's the restorer of your soul. And in this life, the devil's mean, and people can be mean and betray and harsh and hurt. And all of us have gone through things that weren't good and weren't nice. And if you let it penetrate you and you let people's hard words pierce you like arrows, you shouldn't, but people do. They let it get in and they nurse hurts, and it can crush the soul. It can squeeze you and press you. And the enemy, he so wants to jump into a situation like that and oppress and bring depression and confusion and darkness. And you live like that for years, your soul's in a bad condition. But it is not hopeless. There is a God who can restore. He is the God of restoration, and He restores my soul. Oh, somebody say, my God.
My God.
The Good Shepherd,
the Good Shepherd
restores my soul.
Restores my soul.
Say it out loud. Lord, pour in,
Lord, pour in
the oil and the wine,
the oil and the wine
of your spirit.
Of your spirit.
Depression,
leave me.
Darkness,
heaviness,
hopelessness, go from me. I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
I receive
the peace of God that passes understanding.
I receive
the joy of the Lord
that is my strength.
He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
Hallelujah. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Our time's up again today. Come back tomorrow. We'll see you soon in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.